the best casino with winning slots. I'd rather be in the presence of the king than there'd be in the presence of the greatest giver of all monies and all the different things. Amen. Oh, are you thankful today that we have a God that gives more than temporal things? He has eternal things for you and I. Hallelujah. Oh, you ought to lift your hands and just thank him tonight for what he's done for you. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and grace. Hallelujah. God, I bless your name. I praise you, Jesus. I love and I honor you. I honor your name, God, today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bless you and I praise you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Well, it feels so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. We do honor you for being in the house with us this evening. Cason, good to see you over in. Amen. I love this young man. We're so glad he's here, looking so much better. Amen. Praise God. Sister Benton, good to see you. Amen. Thomas, good to see you. Amen. We're so blessed with what God done for him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost just recently, and we're thankful for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just give you a quick deal, house to house Thursday night in different locations. And I'm telling you, from what I've seen and felt in the Lord, I'm believing God to help our church. And you need to be part of house to house. Just go be a part of it. And there's five different locations. Pretty soon we may have to split into six, but that's fine. We're so thankful. I want to see seven. That's my goal. Seven different locations, but right now we have five. Make sure you go to it. We have coordinators in every one of them, and there's going to be a great time of fellowship, but you got to make it happen. It just don't happen. It has to have you. And we're so thankful. This Sunday night, amen, guest minister, Brother Jeff Hamm, is going to be in service with us. Brother Hamm is from Vicksburg, and he's going to be preaching. We're so thankful for that. Pastor Tipton does lend some of his ministers, Brother Hughes, Brother Hamm, amen. And then Bishop Tipton. We're glad that Pastor Tipton's letting Bishop come. Amen. And he will be with us at the end of the month on the 25th. And we're just so blessed that God has mercy on us. Would you go to the word of the Lord with me? Amen. I need somebody to get the podium for me. And we're going to go to John, the 17th chapter, in verse 17. John 17, 17 is the scripture that we want to read and start off tonight. And I love it because it's not even in my notes. And I just felt it a while ago just to read it. John 17, 17, the scripture here says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Very easy to memorize this. It's John 17, 17. Everybody say 17, 17. It says, sanctify them. Jesus is speaking. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Amen. Lift your hands and ask God to do that tonight.
Lord, sanctify us through truth, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let truth be the sanctifying power. Hallelujah. Let truth work in my heart, my ways, oh God. Help me, Lord Jesus, that truth would triumph. Lord, that truth would be the active God thing in my soul. I trust you, Jesus, and I believe you tonight. We worship you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. God bless you for standing. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight from that where the Spirit of the Lord starts working, truth starts working in your heart. That word sanctify simply means this. The Spirit of the Lord starts working in you. And when the Holy Ghost starts working in you, things start, you start moving things aside. You start pushing things out of your life. It'll be like a boat that is weighted down in the waters, and the water edge is starting to come in the boat because the boat is just full of heavy things, you know, needless things. And you start getting rid of every needless weight in that boat. Every heavy thing that you think, you know, I think I need this for my journey. And all of a sudden you realize how much of a weight it is in your vessel. But the moment you start throwing things aside, guess what? your boat starts floating a little bit better. And guess what else starts happening? Pretty soon you start realizing, hey, you know, I may have to go through some storms of life. And I can't afford to take all this stuff with me, all this cargo that are needless. I mean, I don't need rocks to carry across. And why in the world do I want all these rocks aboard my ship? Big rocks, you start throwing these big, heavy rocks and weights out. And your ship starts lightening. You start lighting a load. That's what sanctification is with Jesus Christ. God starts helping you to live easier for him and better for him, and that you could finish your course better. So you start getting rid of things in your life that weight you down. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. I want to talk to us tonight that holiness is not a burden, but a blessing. Holiness is not a burden, but a blessing. And the subject of holiness is profoundly important. Let me just tell you, Christians everywhere testify that they serve a holy God. They have a holy Bible, filled with the Holy Spirit, and hope to spend eternity in a holy heaven. But yet in many Christian circles today, the very word holiness has become uncomfortable and even sometimes taboo. They don't want that. They don't want to even talk about that. And at the same time, the moral fabric of our culture is unraveling before our eyes. Immorality is no longer hidden. It is openly celebrated in classrooms, courtrooms, state houses, schools, and especially throughout media. And in light of this cultural shift, holiness has never been more necessary than it is right now. Amen. Holiness is a part where God starts helping you to get rid of things that even hinder you, that will sink your boat. Holiness is God living inside of you, working in you. You know, the prophet Isaiah saw such a time. And this is what he said in Isaiah 5:20 and 21. He said, woe or danger to them that call good, evil good, and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. In other words, the Lord said, you better be careful swapping labels. We live in a generation where they're swapping labels. And they say it's good to do this when the Lord says it's not good. They're saying, oh, it's okay. And the Lord said, it's not okay. And they're saying, oh, it's wrong to do right. Have you ever seen a generation where they have now made right something that's always been right wrong? There's people that will go to jail because they stand up for what is right. And now it's a slap on the hand. How dare you? How dare you? Well, it has always been right by pattern, by means of creation, and through time. Now has become wrong. I want to just say this. There's never been a culture that is more fully embodies that fully embodies this warning that we have in the Word of God than right now. Many churches, denominations are attempting to accommodate culture in a misguided effort to make Christianity more palatable to sinners. I just want to tell you, amen, history, both ancient and modern, shows us how dangerous it is for the church to abandon a lifestyle that pleases God in exchange for cultural exception. I don't want to accept this culture and what's trying to be pushed down our throats. I want you to understand, church, today, holiness is not a burden. It's a blessing to be separate. It's a blessing to have God in operation. Holiness has become such a negative word that people have, I hope that he don't offend our guests that is here, because he's talking about holiness. I hope he don't offend some of our young people tonight because he's talking about holiness. Hey, friend, I hope I offend every devil in hell. Amen. I hope we offend the devil. Amen. But I want to just go ahead and let you know, amen, that the world is seeking for something to help them get rid of the load. Amen. There was a German philosopher, and his name was George Hegel, and he said the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn anything at all from history. You look at how many times something has happened because of a culture acceptance. You look at the Tower of Babel, surely man would have learned. Look at Noah's flood, surely mankind would have. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah, surely people would have learned. Look at the Greek Empire, surely people would have learned because immorality started flooding in that era. Look at the Roman Empire, surely we would learn. Nope, we haven't learned a bit. Amen. I want you to understand today, tragically, this often proves true time and time again. When churches discard apostolic distinction in lifestyle, it's only a matter of time before doctrine will also be discarded. There was a man that preached a message at a Heritage Conference years ago that I quoted what I preached the other night about redefining normal. And I can remember this man. I mean, he got up there and he preached it about we need to redefine normal. But if you would find him today, he started letting standards down. He started letting things in. And today he don't even believe you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, you start letting things down pretty soon, other things are going to go as well. And the Bible teaches us that we don't need to abandon what matters to God. Let me just say this. Holiness is not merely a dress code or a list of rules. Why is it that when we start talking about holiness, or automatically we start thinking legalism, Phariseeism, a bondage? No, on the contrary, a holy life is a profoundly attractive life to anyone who is weary of sin and genuinely hungry for God. God is wanting to give, amen, his truth to people that want to get out of the prison, out of the weights, that want to get out of the burden, out of the seeking titanic of lifestyles. Amen. Hear me. If anyone is dying of thirst and you offer them water, but it's muddy, they will refuse it. But if you offer them pure water, it becomes attractive. And holiness becomes attractive to people who are really tired of sin, because sin is exhausting, dirty, and toxic. Hear me. Only a person still enjoying the mud will hate the idea of clean water. And I want a clean lifestyle, don't you? Amen. Oh, I don't like to feel icky and sticky. I don't like to feel dirty. I don't want to, I mean, I'm a big guy. I've sweated all my life. And that's one thing. I don't want to stink. I can't stand body odor. I don't want to smell like get back. I mean, I like taking a shower. Amen. I take several showers sometimes. If I have to take two a day, I'll take two a day. Because I can't stand to be around somebody, their clothes stink. It irritates me. But friend, there's a generation that their attitude stinks. And it could be people that go to church. It could be people that attend different places. But just we could begin to say, oh, those people, they stink in their attitude. Hey, holiness is not a stinking attitude. Holiness is a clean heart before God and a clean attitude, a clean spirit. God wants to give that in this hour. Amen. The goal is not to create a subculture of apostolic criticism. Not to spend every sermon attacking other people. And our task is not to teach people. Our task is not to teach people how to attack and begin to cut people's throats. No, but how to live a real life. Amen. Don't you want to live a life of liberty? Amen. Now, it's kind of like this. Why argue with a departing train? If a train has already left the station, you can run alongside of it screaming, but if you're not stopping it, you're not going to stop it by screaming. And some people aren't seeking truth. They're just seeking a debate. And I'm not chasing people who love darkness. I'm lighting the path of those who want the light. And when we have that mindset, we're living for God because we want to let our light shine. We're not here to make ourselves better than everybody else by that lifestyle. You're not better than anybody. The moment you think you're better than a person is the moment that you're not better than a person. It raises an important question. Well, Pastor, how do we teach holiness within the local church? How do we do this in our generation? Let me offer several guiding principles about holiness. Number one, holiness is about principle, not just practices. Let me just talk to us. In previous generations, many elders taught what was needed to be done, and they never explained why it was needed. In that era, obedience was often rendered out of respect for authority, out of respect for the pastor. And however, this sometimes created a vacuum later because it was exploited by leaders with conflict and agendas. So you had this group over here and this group over here that begins to, or you've seen somebody when they reach a certain age that used to preach it, now starts saying, I don't believe that anymore. I want to tell you, if a rock is still a heavy rock and it's vain, we need to keep it out of the boat. If it's a weight and if it's something that will hinder me and causes the world to get in, God give me sense to keep it out. Amen. That's today's generations, they ask the question why. And that question does not automatically signal rebellion. It is often a sincere and a healthy desire many times for people that have understanding. At the same time, young believers must recognize that the elders were not wrong because their explanations many times were not given. They just said, do it. But in our generation, we must teach principles more than ever, more than the demanding practices. Hear me today. Scripture makes God's expectations clear. The scripture says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means lifestyle. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall, somebody say, see the Lord. You can't see the Lord. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely, your whole spirit and body and soul be preserved blameless. Don't you want the Holy Ghost to have operation and free reign on you? When the Holy Ghost begins to work on you and you realize that you've been toting around rocks, boulders, things that are hindering your progress, it is time for you to wake up, rise up, and do something about it. I want the Holy Ghost to have complete liberty to work on my heart. How about you? Holiness affects every dimension of life, spirit, soul, body. And Peter said, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I want to tell you, our distinctiveness flows from gratitude, not from obligation. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Oh, you thankful grace tonight? Amen. I've lost some of you. Amen. I want somebody to recognize tonight that God's goodness is a privilege to live for God. Holiness is a burden for some, but a blessing for those that walk in it. Amen. Praise God. Now, there's three teachers of holiness. Brother Corbett, is there a slide prepared? Three teachers of holiness. That's okay. There's three teachers of holiness. God provided three consistent instructors of holiness. Number one, everybody say the Bible. The Word of God is our law book. And the scripture says, thy law, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I want to just challenge this church and tell you, we got to have the word. We got to love the word. We got to keep the word. We got to preserve it. We got to teach it. We got to instruct people. We got to help our generation with the word of God. So the first teacher is the Bible. teaching unchanging biblical standards. The second teacher is spiritual leadership God has given. And you heard the testimonies of both groups that went to two different places last week. Men that went to men's conference and the young people that went to youth explosion. Both of them come back talking about, amen, God's given leadership to the church. God has given a pastor, amen. And I don't just get up here and just toot my horn, with a crack the whip and say, whoa, look who I am. No. Amen, I want to help people make it. You see, holiness is like a three-legged stool, right? The first leg is the Bible. The second one is spiritual leadership, that the pastor apply biblical principles and as church standards. The third is the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God will guide people with personal standards unique to every believer. And these three should agree together. And when they do not, something will be out of line. Hear me. This illustration behind us, the three-legged stool, the Word, the pastor, and the Holy Ghost. If one leg is out of place, the whole thing is going to wobble. Have you ever eaten at a restaurant where the chair was wobbly or the table was wobbly? A leg was out of place. I don't want to ever be out of place with God. I want these three things even to teach me and have precedent in my life. Holiness standards, we heard this the other night, function as guardrails, not as cages. You know, guardrails are placed, we talked about it. Our young people, our men talked about it, are placed in safe areas to prevent dangers. Not because danger already exists. They keep people from deadly drop-offs. You know, God's guardrails, again, are not cages, but protections. It may be that holiness standards have preserved the apostolic church far more than what we've realized. Let me give you this illustration. A sign that says, bridge ISIS before the road ISIS. That isn't legalism. That's wisdom gained from experience. How many has ever been across a bridge that froze before the road did? Yeah. So some guardrails were installed because somebody didn't survive the curve. And there's some things that we have understood and we've recognized. That's a curve. Are you tired of the curveballs that Satan throws our generation? And those things are put there to help you because somebody didn't survive that mountainous curve. Thank God for our guardrail. Now, the next thing we want to talk to you about, holiness is about progress, not perfection. The word holiness in the Hebrew and the Greek both mean a set apart, a sanctification, separation. It's simply another word. Sanctification is just a simple another word for holiness. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for it is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants you to have that operating in your life. Where there is a constant light that is turned on in your life. And when something comes in, when that fly buzzes into your life, have sense enough to drive the fly out or get the fly swatter at it. Don't let the mice come in your life. Don't let the rodents come in. Don't let the enemy come in. The scripture said the little fox has come in. Hear me, there's more danger in the little things than the big ones. I see more little foxes than big lions that destroyed people. Let me also proclaim, not everyone who attends church is in church. Spiritually. I have people that talk about, man, they're in church. That word in church don't mean just when you come and attend. Being in church means the Holy Ghost is working in your life. The Spirit of God is activating your life. Amen. Just because somebody attends, amen, doesn't mean they're in. Attendance is not the goal. Salvation is. Yet even salvation is not the end. It's just the beginning. Now, somebody said salvation is the most classic word in the Bible. I want you to catch this. We were saved, in other words, justified, God pulled us out of that miry clay, out of that sinking quicksand. Are you thankful that he did? You remember that day? Amen. Some of us didn't remember. We didn't know the danger. That's the problem with the second, third, fourth generation Pentecostals. Amen. Gloriana doesn't know the way of the world. She doesn't know how dangerous the quicksand is. She doesn't understand how quicksand is quick. You know what quicksand even, what it is, Gloriana, at all? Yes, she knows what that is. But there's quicksand for us in things. And she's never been pulled out of it, that, to my knowledge, where the Holy Ghost had just pulled out of the quicksand of danger. She's never been in drugs. I mean, only drug problem she has, her mom and dad drags her to church. Katie has never experienced those things. She's never been a drunk. Katie's never had that problem. But there are some that are here that God has pulled you out. And you appreciate that day that God rescued just right on time. So salvation is very, very elastic word. I want you to understand, we were saved. We were justified that day. We're being saved. We're being sanctified. The Lord is working. We're removing rocks out of our life. And one day we will be saved and a glorification. So sanctification is a lifelong process. You hear me say it all the time. The Holy Ghost is not a diploma. It's what? It's a beginning. The reason why is we got to walk with God. Holiness is not an optional add-on either for elite believers. It's the point of the Christian's life. And God does love us as we are. Hear it? God does love us as we are. But he loves us far too much to leave us as we are. So it starts the process of a sanctification. It's a lifelong renovation process, conforming us to his image. And what is visible on the outside should reflect what God is doing on the inside. The battle for holiness is primarily won in the mind through you yielding yourself and letting God transform and renew you. Let me just tell somebody today, I'm thankful that God still renovates and makes us brand new. Amen. God is able to take an old life and make it brand new. A baby falls, learning to walk. And we don't call that baby a failure. We call it development. And a fall is not a proof that you're lost. Sometimes it's proof that you're learning. You're going to have times where you fall and falter. And there's times that things are going to pop out of your mouth that you have to retract. There's things you have to get back and say, I'm sorry. There's things that you do that you learn. I'm not going there anymore. Huh. How many before has made wrong steps in life? And you had to go back and learn from your mistakes. I want to just tell the church today, holiness is not a burden, it's a blessing. And people that's been raised in church, they either got it to where they were slapped in the face with it and never taught why or never seen the beauty of it. And I know people that were raised in where they took the T-bone, they took that beautiful steak, and they try to shove it down your throat and say, that's holiness, you better eat it. Friend, you'll never win anybody by shoving the steak down their throat. But friend, you put that steak on that plate and you put a big potato with it, and we're supposed to be fasting, my word. And there's something about it, Brother Robbie. Amen. If I put that big old ribeye there before you, amen. Oh, friend. And I say, it's yours. You're going to take of it. You're going to partake of it. Hear me, saints of God. Amen. Holiness is not shoved down people's throat, but holiness is something that you have the privilege to dine in and ingest inside of your life. Amen. Are you thankful today that we are God's people? Holiness is beautiful. Holiness is both internal and external. Grace is not an excuse to live like the world. Grace is God's enabling power to live a holy life. We're not saved by works. We're saved unto good works. And James says very plainly, faith without works is dead. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good, what? Works. And glorify your Father in heaven. Internal holiness is foundational. And it's genuine. It's an internal transformation that will always produce an external fruit. And to deny either is spiritually dangerous. Let me just give a reason why. Nobody ties apples on a dead tree to make it alive. Fruit don't create life. It proves that life exists. So we don't live holy to become saved. We live holy because we are saved. Hear me. Smoke doesn't create a fire. It indicates there's a fire. An external change doesn't create salvation. It indicates something is burning within inside the soul. Are you thankful that holiness is not a burden? Holiness is still a blessing. Holiness is about people, not perception. Most holiness issues are maturity issues, not immediate salvation issues. That's why new believers must be given time to grow. We love people before they're saved, and we must love them as they're being sanctified, as they're growing. Problems rarely come from new believers. Hear me. They usually arise when some seasoned individual resists growth and misuses grace as a loophole for disobedience. Grace is not a loophole for you to disobey God. Hear me, willful disobedience always becomes a salvation issue. Willful disobedience is always a salvation issue. And God's family is not dysfunctional. We love every member, mature or immature, but God wants us to grow. When you receive the Spirit of God, mature saints begin to serve as living examples. You don't have to go to them. Amen. In the past, I've had people that try to play pastor. Somebody's come to church and they tried to nudge them and try to tell them, hey, you need to do this. No, 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 no. It's not your job to be the shepherd. Mm-hmm. Praise God. You want to give account? Pastors got to constantly balance the belief and belonging. Do you know healthy churches allow people to belong before they fully believe? Come on. Nurturing them towards maturity rather than policing them into conformity. The church doesn't exist for insiders. It exists for whosoever will. Growth happens where grace and truth meets together. Let me just say this tonight. A museum protects old things from being touched. A hospital heals broken people. And we aren't here to display saints. We're here to develop disciples. Because I know people that's been in church for 40 years that are just as backslidden as somebody who's on a bar stool. That think now they have the Holy Ghost and they've learned how to pray and they learn how to break through to just a little time of just, you know, they'll talk in tongues and they think I'm okay. Hey, talking in tongues don't make you full of the Holy Ghost. Resisting the devil, saying yes to God, yielding your members, you got to walk with God. The Holy Ghost, again, is not a diploma. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me just say this tonight. You don't scream at sprouts because they're not tomatoes yet. You water them, you weed, and you wait. So when you got a new believer and somebody's coming in, they're growing. I've seen a lot of people pluck them by the roots when they were in the growth stage. But a garden that never grows is a problem. A person that's fruitless. A person that never produces. And I want to just say there's a difference between babies and rebels. Ignorance needs teaching. Rebellion needs repentance. Problems don't come from babies that don't know better. Problem comes from adults who know better. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible says to him, it is sin. It's those of us that know better. So holiness is not bondage. It's not a burden. Holiness is one of God's greatest blessings in our life. It's not about me being perfect and flawless. It's about me progressing and growing. It's not about perception. Oh, that's just your ideology. No, it's about his word. May God teach us holiness with clarity, patience, love, and maturity. I want the Holy Ghost to guide. You see, when you have the Lord as your shepherd, you don't back off and say, the Lord is my shepherd, just on Sundays, just when I'm in church. Amen. I wake up every day trying to learn how to follow the shepherd. And the way to follow the shepherd is by surrender, yielding myself. God wants a church that knows how to follow his spirit. Now, let's talk about that just for a moment. You know, God is ready to lead this church into greater things, but it's those that have an ear to hear, those that have a heart to say, God, I want your spirit. And God wants a church that is maturing and growing and processing and progressing and growing in the spirit. God wants a people that's producing. You know what I see? I see as a shepherd and a pastor tonight, there's some people getting ready to bloom. But tonight, the reason why we're teaching this is because I've seen it so many times where when somebody's getting ready to bloom, we have people that will pick at blooms. What is she doing? How can she? Don't pick the blooms tonight. Let the blooms blossom. Let the blooms begin to produce. Let the blooms begin to grow. How many wants to blossom for Jesus Christ? I want God to produce fruit. You may have been in church all your life and have never won a soul. Could it be that God wants you to be ripe to be a soul winner? Amen. A one that has that testimony that's right on time? Amen. God's ready for his church to be a beautiful, growing, life-giving source that glorifies him. It's not how good and anointed I am. No. It's how yielded I am to the God of heaven, how much he can work on me and bless my soul. You know, freedom comes from the right boundaries. A train is free because it stays on the tracks. A fish is free because it stays in the water, and a bird is free because it stays in the air. Freedom isn't the absence of boundaries. Freedom is living in the right environment. Holiness isn't restriction. It's the track that keeps you moving forward. Church, I want to be holy as he is holy. And I can't be on my own. Sister Dallas, where you at? Right before you sang, this is what I was going to say. When you're down to nothing and you have nothing to give, that's where God a lot of times wants you. Have you ever been down to nothing in your life and you realize, God, I have nothing at all? I love it when somebody has come to the end of their rope and they find the God at the end of their rope. I have felt in the Holy Ghost so beautifully. God loves it. And why does God have to bring us to a place sometime to remove all the different things out of our life because of our trouble? You know, things don't have to be this way. Sometimes God has to bring us back to point A to teach us. Why don't we learn from these things and grow in these things and say, God, I don't want to repeat. I don't want to repeat the same old history lesson. Like our world has. They haven't learned from history at all. But I want to learn how to be an overcomer. How about you? I'm not going to let the same snake bite me. I'm not going to let the same old thing stir me and get me, get my attitude, and cause me to lose out. Well, if an old song comes in your mind or you start listening to a song and it causes you to have ungodly thoughts, And you start hearing this old song and it starts plaguing your brain and you start having unwholesome thoughts. Don't wake up tomorrow morning and try to listen to it and go find that song. Why is it? We can say amen to that. Why is it we let the same old fox steal, kill, and destroy us when God wants a victorious people that will love being victorious? Hallelujah. Oh, I feel Jesus right now. Would you lift your hands to him right now and just love him? Lord, I thank you. God, I don't care how bad we are. When we finally get to the bottom of our bottom, Lord, you're right there to lift us up, to make us new. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you today, God, for your loving kindness. God, it's not how good we are, but how much we realize we need your goodness. Oh, God, I can't ever get good to get you, but I had to have you to get good. Lord, I need your touch. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your anointing. I need your power. I need that authority in my life, Lord. And I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you today for the beauty of holiness and the blessing of holiness. I praise you today, Jesus. I worship you. I love you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, would you just lift your hands again right now? Hallelujah. Would you lift those hands again and just thank you, Jesus? Thank you. God, thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping my soul. Thank you for having grace upon me today, Jesus. I love and I treasure you, Lord, above everything else. Hallelujah. 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 Let me help somebody tonight. Hallelujah. Mr. Kaysen has been through it all, buddy. I'm telling you, this man has been at the point of death many times, haven't you? Y'all really don't know. And he's a young man. You had to be 21. I know better than that. I've known you more than 21 years. This young man has been through it. Things have happened. But Kaysen, can I tell you the reason why you're here tonight? It's not just because Mammy drove you to church. It's because you had warriors praying for you. Keep it. God would keep you. When your white blood cells were so high with infection, time and time again, I'm so thankful that there was somebody to go to war and fight the fight of faith for you. That Mammy right there. Kaysen, since you've been at the bottom, God wants to use you to go to war for other people because nobody has the testimony that you have, bro. These little kids in here, I'm telling you, they have no clue. I don't have a clue. Man, I've seen Kaysen at the bottom. But Kaysen tonight, you have a rich, rich heritage. So what about your past? God's brought you to right now. And the point of right now and the point of goodness, God has intersected an opportunity. Amen. For you, amen, to be something that you couldn't be on your own. It's all by the goodness and the grace of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to pray the anointing of the Lord on grace on Kaysen, that God would anoint him. God, give him my anointing. I want you to pray that, Lord, give him my anointing, that he could be an instrument, Lord Jesus, in his hour that he's living in. Lord, you have a purpose for him, else he'll be under. He got 6 foot under. God, I thank you for that purpose that you're revealing in him. God, that you would use this young man, Lord Jesus. God, that he would feel the anointing, that he would feel your purpose. God, this man has a testimony, Lord. God, so many times he's been there, Lord, where people shook their head and said, there's no hope for him. But God, you have a hope that is beyond what eyes can see. I praise you today, God, for that hope that you give, for that righteousness that you bring about, Lord, that testimony that you give, that anointing that you put in a vessel. God, that so many have written off and said, there's no hope. Lord, I praise you, Lord, because every one of us in this room, God, without you, we're nothing. Without you, we can't make it. Without your goodness, God, we're nothing at all. I praise you and I love you, Jesus. I thank you right now for your righteousness. Hallelujah. Stand with me, church. Brother John, would you just step behind and I want you to put your hand on Kaysen's shoulder. Amen. I want you, as you're standing tonight, to put your hand on somebody's shoulder if it's appropriate. Amen. I I want you to pray for them. Lord, let your greatest be in their life. Let your greatest be in their soul, Lord. Let it come to pass, God. Let us not pick the blossoms and the blooms, but God, help us, Lord Jesus, to let your glory develop us, God, to make us what you have called us to be. In the name of the Lord, God, let it be done, Lord Jesus, through our lives. Make us, God, instrumental. Make us and let the fruit of your righteousness flow through us. God, I pray tonight, God, for that sacred anointing. God, take the burden, Lord, off of that soul tonight, and let liberty, God, peace and joy, God, let it flow. Let a root of righteousness grow, God, and let it anchor a soul tonight in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Ramadarabasalayah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, there's ministering spirits here tonight from the Holy God of heaven. Amen. There's ministering spirits in this place right now that God is wanting to minister hope to somebody. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Don't quit now. Don't look around now. Amen. Pray for that person you were praying with just a moment ago. In the name of Jesus, I pray for liberty, Lord. I pray for peace. I pray for unction. I pray for joy. I pray for the lift of the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, lift that soul, God. Lift that head. Lift that heart, God. Lift that mind, Lord Jesus. Plant that feet on higher ground, Lord. That holiness could flow through us, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of the Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen at the Holy Ghost now. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and yield to the Lord. Just yield your members. Yield yourself to the Lord.
Just let it fall on me. My heart is filled with desire for a touch of heavenly fire, fresh anointing fall on me. Lord, we need your anointing, a fresh, holy anointing. Let it fall on me. My heart is filled with desire for a touch of Holy Ghost fire, fresh anointing fall on me. Jesus, we need your anointing, fresh, holy anointing. Just let it fall on me. My heart is filled with desire for a touch of heavenly fire.